John chapter number 12. Gospel of John chapter number 12. Do remember all of these that are sick this morning. Pray that God would help them, be with them, and strengthen them. And then those in the hospital as well, that God would help them. All right? Amen. And amen. John chapter number 12. Give you just a moment to find your place. Amen. While you're turning, I heard about two Cajun pastors. Y'all know Cajun down yonder in Louisiana. Two Cajun pastors, Reverend Bordall, and was a part-time pastor of the local Cajun Baptist Church. And Pastor Thibodeau was the minister of the Covenant Church across the road. They were both standing by the road, pounding a sign into the ground that read, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now afore it be too late." And as the car sped past them, the driver leaned out his window and yelled, "You religious nuts!" And from the curve, they heard screeching tires and a big splash. And Bordall turns over to Thibodeau and asks, "Do you think maybe the sign should just say, 'Bridge out'?" Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Some of y'all get that about supper time tonight. John chapter number 12. I'll call your attention to verse number 12. John 12, and we'll begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, on the next day, in the first part of this chapter, we see that Lazarus is at the table with Jesus. In chapter 11, he was resurrected. And then chapter 12, there at the table. And verse number 12 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Here we have the account of what we call the triumphal entry. In verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me where I am. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of thy law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while it is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things Jesus spake, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Father, in Jesus' name, as we have come to the portion of your word of God that we've read this morning, we are asking you, God, that you would touch us, that you would illuminate our hearts and our eyes and help us to see and to receive the things that, God, you'd have us to receive this morning. We thank you, God, for the opportunity, the privilege it is that you've given us to be here. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. We thank you for salvation so full and so free. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost that fills us and indwells us and will draw us around the truth of the word of God in unity. And I pray, God, that you touch us and help us this morning. Speak to hearts and lives. There may be some here this morning that they've never been saved, and they need to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And then there'll be others this morning that they're saved, but, Lord, maybe they are discouraged, and they need to be encouraged. And then there may be some that they're saved, but, Lord, they're not where they ought to be spiritually with you. God, I pray for each person, which whatever state they may be, that, Lord, you'd speak to the hearts, that you would encourage, that you would edify, that you would challenge and change and help us, Lord, today. May everything that be said and done here be glorifying to you and exalting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I heard that when the historic Church of the Open Door was in downtown Los Angeles, I heard that and read that if you were to stand behind the pulpit, you would look into the massive auditorium consisting of a first floor, and then there was a large balcony, and then even a second balcony. And I've never stood there, but I've read and heard that it, as you would stand at that pulpit, that it would give you the feeling of importance just to be standing there. Standing there where the large crowds had gathered to hear one speak. But just as your ego of the speaker, the speaker's ego and thought would be to become inflated, they would quickly come down to earth when they looked down at a little plaque that was fixed upon the pulpit with the words from our text in verse 21 that simply said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You see, the speaker would be quickly reminded that the crowd did not come to see him. They didn't come to see a great speaker, but they came to see Jesus. And I remind you that the crowd didn't come to see the speaker, and the speaker didn't come to see the crowd, but they would all be reminded, "Sir, we would see Jesus." It would do us well, it would do us good as a church to be reminded of this word and these truths. Each time we come to church, each time we gather together, that we're not here to see and to be seen, to hear or to be heard, other than to hear the word of God and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to have that as our heartbeat. "Sir, we would see Jesus." You see, in our day, our focus is scattered. Our focus is shattered, if you will, by many things, and our focus is splattered all over the place. Here in our text, the writer has written to us, and we find that these people, they had just witnessed and they had just experienced some great events. They experienced, some of them, the resurrection of Lazarus. They experienced the account of Lazarus being at the table with the Lord Jesus. And then each of them in this text, they had encountered and experienced the triumphal entry where Jesus Christ was glorified in the eyes of the men there that day, according to verse number 16. Many of them had heard about his works. They had heard about the marvelous deeds that he had done. They had heard about the miracles that he had performed. They had heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, how he had stood at the tomb and cried out, "Lazarus, came forth, and he that was dead came forth." They had heard that. They had heard the great things, no doubt. But there came some men who were not content just to hear what he did, not just to hear the stories about what he had done, but they desired and they wanted to see
him. The Bible says they were Greeks. The term Greeks, they come here. These Greeks, if you understand, Greeks are those who were not Jews. Greeks, speaking of the Gentile world, anyone could be termed a Greek who was not of the Jewish nation. And these Greeks came and they desired to see Jesus. The Greeks would desire to see Jesus because in their day there was the temple, and in the temple there was the place where the Jews could come and worship. But there was a partition, if you will. There was a wall that passed that wall. The Greeks, the Gentiles, could not come. They could not come. And these men, they were sincere in their desire. They wanted to worship. They had come to worship. But there was a particular portion of the temple that they could not enter because they were not Jews. And they were not content just to hear in their little court what they could hear. They had a sincere desire to see the Lord Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. They weren't content with secondhand stories. And can I say to you and I this morning that it's enough to hear stories. It's wonderful to hear the records. It's wonderful to read. But every one of us ought to have a desire to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. Can I say, in 2017, Jesus Christ needs to be seen. I say he needs to be seen afresh and anew in our lives. Us that are saved, we need to get a new glimpse and get our focus fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get a new look, a fresh look at Jesus and who he is and what he's done, and come close to him. Can I say, one of the evidences that you know him, one of the evidences that you have seen him, is a greater desire to know him and to see him even better. I say, listen, I thank God for January the 10th, 1999, when I met the Lord Jesus and I saw him in salvation. But because of that experience and because of that encounter, there has been a time in my life ever since then that I have wanted to know him, and I want to draw closer to him. And if you know him this morning, you want to know him. If you've seen him, you want to see him. Every one of us as children of God ought to have a desire to see him. And then not only that, but sinners need to see him. If you've never been saved, if you're walking in sin this morning, if you've come in here and you've never been saved, maybe you've been to church, maybe you have heard some preaching, maybe you've sung some gospel songs, maybe you've done some religious deeds, but you've never been saved. Can I say, what you need to see is not a church. What you need to see is not a denomination. What you need to see is not a man, not a movement. Hey, listen, what you need to see is the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to see him. And then I say to you and I as Christians that as Christians, we need to make sure that Jesus can be seen. We need to make sure that Jesus can be seen, that we are not clouding someone's vision, that we are not distracting someone or distorting their view, that we are making a clear view with our lives for others to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We would see Jesus, see to perceive with our eyes, by any of the senses to see and to discern, to discover, to turn one's eyes, one's mind, and one's attention to someone or something. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would turn our attention to Jesus. Sir, hey, we're glad to meet you, but we want to see Jesus. We're thankful for what God's done for you and your family, but we need to see Jesus. We're thankful for what God's done at a church, but we don't need to see a building. We need to see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus is our foundation, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. No other foundation can any man lay than that is laid. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, not only our foundation, but according to Hebrews chapter number 12, he is our finisher. He is the author. That's the foundation and the finisher of our faith. And not only that, but the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter number 12 says that he ought to be our focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we ought to be looking to him. And I want you to notice with me some things in this text where these men came and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And I just want to preach on this thought. We would see Jesus. Or maybe you would put under that as a side note, let Jesus be seen. In 2017, there's a lot of things that we could write down that we need to do, that we may need in our churches, that we may need in our homes, that we may need in our families, that we may need in our schools. But can I say, nothing nothing will top the need that we need to see Jesus, and Jesus needs to be seen. Sir, we would see Jesus. Notice their desire. In verse 21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. It's a sincere desire. Notice some things about this desire. The desire meaning a craving, a longing, an intense desire. They desired him. Notice some things about the desire. Notice the motivation of their desire. What was the motivation of their desire? No doubt they had heard about the power of God. No doubt they had heard of Jesus' power to call Lazarus from the tomb. No doubt they had heard some things. Look back in verse number 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then, watch this, remembered they that the things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. So the people that were there, hey, they began to bear record. They began to tell of the power that Jesus had over death. And verse 18 says, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. So no doubt there was the power of God, the performance of God. But I would say to you, the motivation was a right motivation. They wanted to see God work. But there was more than the power, and there was more than the performance. They wanted to see the person. They wanted to see Jesus Christ afresh and for themselves. And let me say this, not only do I see the motivation for the desire, but I see the means of their desire. You say, what are you saying, preacher? What about the means? In verse number 21, the Bible said, the same, that is those Greeks, they came therefore to Philip. They came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him. So why did they come to Philip? You know anything about Philip? Philip was the one, y'all remember? And then Philip goes and gets Andrew. And then Andrew is going to go tell Jesus. Who is Philip and Andrew? Well, Philip and Andrew had met Jesus back in John chapter number 1. And you remember Andrew? Hey, who are these? These are people. These are people. These are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why Philip? Why Andrew? Because they were men. They were nothing but male men, but they were men. They were deliverers of the message. They would hear from the people. They would take the message and give it to Jesus. And they were people. Can I say to you, God uses people for other people to see Jesus. People in the world, well, they're going to look at Christians to see Christ. You say they ought not look at me. Well, Paul said, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. You see, the world doesn't necessarily pick up the Bible. Lost people are not necessarily going to pick up the Bible and read and see for themselves. But they're going to watch you and I, and they're going to see our testimony. They're going to see the example that we exhibit in this world. We who call ourselves Christians, say that we're saved, name the name of Christ. And they're watching you, sir. They're watching you, ma'am. They're watching you, young person. And they are looking to see if they see Jesus in you. And the question would be, do they see Jesus in you? Do they see Jesus in me? And does my life point people to Christ? Could I be the means by which others would be brought to Jesus so that they would see him? There's a desire, a sincere desire to see him. Not only is there a desire, but I want you to think with me about the distraction. Because every time you have a desire, there's always going to be a distraction. Anytime somebody wants to serve God, there'll always be opposition. Anybody who stands for the cause of Christ, there'll be people who oppose them and stand against them. These men were no different. These Greeks, they had a desire to see the Lord Jesus. And not only did they have a desire, but they faced distractions. They faced deterrences. What were they, preacher? Well, in verse number 19, the Bible said that the Pharisees therefore perceived among themselves and said, watch this, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world, or the world, is gone after him. Who are these Pharisees? This is the religious crowd. So you may face the distraction of a religious background. The Pharisees, those are those in the church who think they got it all together. They got everything right so they can criticize everybody else. They've done this and they've not done this, and they have this and they have this pedigree, and their family's perfect, so they can pick out all the flaws in everybody else. They have the religious background. Can I say a distraction for people seeing Jesus is a bunch of religious Pharisees, hypocrites in the church, who are quick to point out the flaws in everybody else's family, who are quick to point out the flaws in the preacher or the deacons, or the quick to point out the flaws in the choir members. They're quick to point out the flaws in the Sunday school teachers, but they are a lot slower to point out the flaws in their own lives. They'd be quick to point out the flaws in your young person, but they don't see the flaws in their young person. They're Pharisees. And Pharisees, people with a religious background, a religious pedigree that think they've got it all together. Their haircut's just right. Their dress is just perfect. Their music is just to the T. They think, because they're comparing themselves with themselves, and they are unwise. Pharisees, the religious people of the day. This religious background, there's a negative tone there in verse number 19. They said, you prevailed nothing. Behold, the world has gone after him. In other words, hey, they thought you're wasting your time. There's a lot of people like that in church. Hey, listen, we've done it like this for years and it's never going to happen. You can't do it that way. Religious Pharisees are a distraction. Religious Pharisees are a deterrent. Jesus was harder on religious Pharisees than he was any other crowd in his day. Religious crowd. Not only was there a religious background that was a distraction, but there was a racial background that was a distraction. In verse number 20, the Bible teaches us that there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, we've talked a little bit about it already. The Jews in that day, the Jews had access into the temple. The Jews, Jesus was a Jew, and the Old Testament law and the Old Testament customs, that was all from the Jewish background. But now, here in the New Testament, we are seeing, even now in the Gospels, that these Greeks rise up and they come to worship. And the Bible teaches us in verse 20 that they came up to worship. It doesn't tell us that it was the first time. We're led to believe that possibly these men were worshipers. They had come to worship. And even back in the Old Testament, I thank God for the grace of God, even in the Old Testament. I thank God there's grace in Genesis. There's grace in Ruth. There's grace all throughout the Old Testament where, though it was a Jewish custom, it was a Jewish way, God made a way for the Gentiles to get in on the program and the salvation of God. And I thank God for that. Amen. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God this morning that you didn't have to be a Jew to get saved. And we're beginning to see here that these Greeks, these Gentiles, come and they had a desire to see Jesus, but there was some distractions. There's religious distractions. There's a racial distraction. They're Greeks. Greeks, they weren't Jews. When they would come to the temple, there would be a barrier. They couldn't go any farther. And if Jesus was on the inside of that barrier with all of the other Jews, those Greeks could come no farther. And they would not be able to see him. And so they were hindered. They were distracted from seeing him. You know, there's a lot of things in our world that would keep people from seeing Jesus. But we ought not let race be one of them. Can I say to you, Jesus came to die for sin. Amen. You had a sin problem. I had a sin problem, before I say. The problem that cursed mankind was not their sin. It's their sin. Are you listening to me? And there's a world out here that's dying and they're going to hell. And they're red, they're yellow, they're black, they're white, or any variation in between. And they don't have to be your color and from your culture to need Jesus. You know what they need to need Jesus? They need to be breathing. And if they're breathing, they got a problem. And that problem is not the color of their skin. It's not the culture that they were raised in. Are you listening to me? Every man, woman, and boy and girl that was born in this world had a problem, and that problem was sin. And Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Sadly, there's a racial barrier. A racial barrier. Sadly, even in America today, 11 o'clock Sunday morning is one of the most segregated times of our culture. Something's wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? I'm going to preach right here. If our culture includes Mexicans, if our culture includes blacks, if our culture includes Asians, then our church ought to be in pursuit of Mexicans, blacks, and pursuits just as well as the white folk. Amen and amen. Like it, lump it, or hump it. Amen. Bless God, Jesus came to save sinners. And he told us to go into the world, and he said to preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say pick out your color. He didn't say pick them from your culture. He said go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. But sadly, in churches, there's a racial background that is a distraction. It's a deterrence to some. And they can't see Jesus because they're not wanted. They're not welcome. Preacher, I'm not racist. I just think they ought to go to their church. That's racist. That's prejudice. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of all colors of skin. Well, preacher, when we get to heaven, we're going to be one color. Just prove that to me in the Bible. John said he saw, when he got into heaven, he saw those from every nation, kindred, race, and tongue, and tribe. He said he saw them all. Are you listening? Don't let race be a hindrance to you sharing the gospel with somebody and showing them the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. Not only did they have desire, not only did they face distractions, but these men had determination. They had determination. Notice they came with the purpose. Oh, man, I like this. Verse 20 tells us their purpose. They came up to worship at the feast. There's a lot of people in church that ought to get that purpose. We didn't come to criticize. We didn't come to sit around and judge. We didn't come to see if the choir was on key. We didn't come to tell the preacher what to do. We didn't come to tell the Sunday school teacher where they messed up. We didn't come to point out all the flaws. We didn't come to pick at this, and we didn't come to criticize that. But when we came to church, we came to worship. Amen. That's what we're here for, church. We're here to worship. We're not here to worship a man. We're not here to worship a building. We're here to worship Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We're here to worship Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we're here. That's why He saved us. He desires us to worship Him. John chapter number 4 said He desired the Father seeketh us to worship Him. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. They had a desire. Their purpose was to worship. God forgive us for coming in church and talking about weather and talking about sports and talking about the person across the church and talking about what this one said and talking about this, that. Hey, God help us. That's not why we're here. Are you listening? The church has to carry out what we call politics from time to time, but that's not why we're here. Don't get caught up and focused on those things. We are here to worship God. We are here to worship the One who gave Himself for us, died on an old rugged cross, rose from the dead. He is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's reigning from heaven, and He saves your soul. That's who we're here for. Worship Him. Fall on our face. Blow kisses to Him. Prostrate before Him. He's worthy of our worship. These men had a purpose. Their purpose was to worship. Notice not only in their determined purpose, notice their pursuit. The same, I like this, the same came. I like that. Verse 21, they came. The same came. If you're going to come after, are you going to come? You're pursuing. You're making an advance. If I say go, you're leaving. If you say I'm going, you're going away from. But if you say I'm coming, you're coming towards. These men had a desire to see Jesus, but they knew the distractions. Hey, listen, there's distractions. But these men got past their distractions. Can I help you just for a second? If you're going to get to Jesus and you're going to see Him, you might have to be like Zacchaeus. You may have to climb up a tree. You may have to get over some obstacles. You may have to get past some people. The distractions may not get out of the way like they ought to, but if you have a desire to see Him, hey, you can get past the distractions this morning. And they began to pursue. And the Bible said in verse 21, the same came, therefore. They came. Don't you sit in church and go, I'd get saved, but them hypocrites. Yeah, there's hypocrites here.
Sure there is. But there's hypocrites at Walmart. Amen? There's hypocrites at the mall. There's hypocrites at the gas station. Are you listening to me? Don't let somebody else be in a distraction keep you from getting to where you need to be and worshiping God and come and know Him the way you need to. There's other Christians. Well, I'd get rid of things in my life. And I'd serve God and I'd sell out. But you don't know, preacher. You don't know what so-and-so. Who cares what they think? We're not here for them. We're not here for them. We're here for Him. Are you listening? Pursuit. They had a pursuit. The same came. They came, therefore. And then notice this, their persistence. When they came to Philip, the Bible said they desired him. And desired him. That's an interesting word. And they said this. They said, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. That little two-word phrase, we would. I challenge you, go home and look it up. That we would speaks of their desire. That word we would, those two words, it means to will, to have in mind, or we intend to. In other words, hey Philip, we came here to worship and we intend to see Jesus. That's what they're saying. Our purpose for coming here was to worship and we intend on seeing Jesus. Hey, we've heard about His power. We've heard about all He's done, but we want to see the person. We intend to see Him. We're not leaving until we see Him is what they're saying. They're resolved. They are determined in their mind and in their heart. They have a purpose, a desire, a wish. They say we would love to see Him. Hey, listen, this word we would speaks of a fondness or liking something or someone to take delight in and to have pleasure in. What they're saying, we would love to, it would be our pleasure to, we intend to see Jesus. It's too many people come to church and they're satisfied to see the preacher. They're satisfied to see the choir. They're satisfied to see the pretty walls. They're satisfied to see somebody that they hadn't seen all week. You've had all week to see them. Hey, when you come to church, we're coming to see Jesus. No one else, nothing else will ever satisfy the cravings and the longings and the aspirations of these men. They wanted to see Jesus. They needed to see Jesus. And they were determined to see Jesus. Sir, they didn't call him Philip. Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, man. If we in our church would get a hold of that. If we, hey, just a small handful of us this morning would get a grip of this, and it would get a grip of our heart, and we would develop a desire, and it would bring us to a determined effort to, hey, see Jesus. Nothing else will satisfy. Now, here in our text, as we read this morning, It's not told to us that Jesus was seen. Matter of fact, it leads us to believe that they didn't see Him at this event. Andrew goes in verse number 22, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And then Jesus answered them. That is, He answered Philip and Andrew. In verse 23 through verse 36, Jesus begins to talk to them, and he tells them of the corn of wheat. He said, if the corn of wheat, verse 24, fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What's he talking about? He's speaking of his death that was going to bring life to many. And he goes on, and he's in these verses through verse 36, he is pointing these men to Calvary, where Jesus, according to verse 32, would be lifted up. And the middle wall of perdition would be torn in two so that the Greeks and the Gentiles, so that the Jews and the Gentiles alike, red, yellow, black, and white, when Jesus was at Calvary and he cried out, it is finished, and the veil was rent from top to bottom, access was made and the whole world could come in. The petitions destroyed, removed. Gentiles as well as Jew will be allowed into God's presence. There is no partition now. God has provided a way through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want you to notice. In verse 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
He's drawing men today. Can I remind you, he was lifted up at Calvary. And as Jesus is seen, as Jesus is displayed and proclaimed to the world through the message of the gospel, that's his means. The Holy Ghost takes the gospel and he's drawing men today because Jesus was lifted up. But I want you to notice with me here, because Jesus is saying, in essence, he's saying, if you want to see me, I will be lifted up for all to see and to draw all men. Notice in verse 36, he said, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed. And watch the last part of this verse. And did hide himself from them. What about that? These men were determined. Sir, we would see Jesus. Hey, Jesus, there's some Greeks out there. They want to see you. What is Jesus saying? He said, listen, if you want to see me, I'm going to be like a kernel of corn. I got to go in the ground and I got to produce. I'm going to be lifted up for all the world to see. And I'm going to draw all men. What's he saying in verse 36 when he goes and he hides himself? I tell you what Jesus is saying to them. Same thing he's saying to you and I this morning. That you cannot bypass Calvary and see the real Jesus Christ. There's a world of religion out here today, and they want the Jesus who's a teacher. They want the Jesus who's a healer. They want the Jesus who's a good man. They want the Jesus who can take care of all their felt needs. But they don't want a Jesus that went to the cross and died for their sins, because they don't want to face the reality that they were sinners and in need of a Savior. They don't want to face, they call, oh, that's that bloodhouse religion. You talk about that slaughterhouse, that bloody gory religion. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Hey, he was led as a lamb before his, hey, I'm talking about as a sheep before his shears is done, yet he opened not his mouth. I'm talking about Jesus Christ went to Calvary and he laid down his life and he shed his blood and he died for my sins and he died for your sins. And if you don't see the Jesus that went to Calvary, you will not see Jesus. There's nothing that should keep men, women, boys and girls of any color, creed, or culture from seeing Jesus Christ today. I want to give you a few things right quick. We'll go to the house. We need to make sure that Jesus is seen. And we can make sure that Jesus is seen. Let me give you a couple of ways how. Number one, we need to make sure Jesus is seen in the Scriptures. When we read the Scriptures, don't just read them to prove a point. Don't just read the Scriptures and try to pass your agenda. But when you read the Scriptures, like one preacher said, hey, every page, look for Jesus. He's on every page somewhere. You say, prove it, preacher. Jesus said in Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, that's Jesus, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus went from Genesis all the way to Malachi, all throughout the Scriptures, and he's preaching and he's showing those disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, that's me. John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Are you listening? When we point someone to the Scriptures, we're pointing them to Jesus. That's why I'm sticking with the King James. I'm not asking you for a muddied down, watered down perversion. Are you listening to me? Things that are not the same, they're different. And if they're different, they're not the same. Are you listening to me? And if this King James has been getting the job done for years and it's right, if this King James is right, the rest of them's wrong. I'm going to run this rabbit for a second. Y'all like it or not? Hey, but this King James is the Bible. And if it's not the Bible, I'm going to the house. This Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Oh, there's other versions that may contain part of the Word of God. But the King James is the Word of God to the English-speaking people. Amen. I don't need a perversion. Make sure that people can see Jesus in our Scriptures. We're pointing them to the Scriptures. And then not only that, Jesus needs to be seen in our sermons. When we preach, we need to preach Jesus. When we encourage people with the Word of God, when we preach, when we teach our lessons, when we preach the Word of God, we need to preach Jesus. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. He said, but unto us which are saved, both the Jews and the Greeks, he said, Christ, the power of God. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:5. He said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. Our sermons should be embodied by our sermons should expound, and our sermons should promote and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but people should see not only Jesus in our scriptures, not only Jesus in the sermons, but Jesus in our songs. Jesus in our songs. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See what he's saying, preacher? I'm saying I don't want a songbook that don't have there's power in the blood in it. I don't want a songbook that takes out all the glory. I want to hear it. I love to hear the story. I love to tell the story. Hey, listen, by preaching or singing, we ought to get the message across that, listen, we are singing about Him, we are singing to Him, and we are singing for Him. Our songs should contain Jesus, should be clear, should not be vague. We're living in a day, even gospel music that is on the radio waves, it's a lot of fluff. Well, they're singing a love. They love Him. They love Him. Who's Him? I'm not trying to be critical this morning. I'm trying to be honest this morning and ask you that when you sing and when you listen to the music, who's it talking to? Who's it talking about? Yeah. And let me say this, that Jesus needs to be seen not only in our scriptures, not only in our sermons, not only in our songs, but in our saints. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus in you? Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, and he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I heard about a little boy scared of the dark. Scared of the dark. And his daddy said, son, said, there's nothing to be scared of. Said, if you're saved, said, Jesus is with you. He said, he's with you. He said, he's with me. He said, yeah. He said, when you get saved, he said, Jesus lives inside of you. He never leaves you, never forsake you. He lives inside of you. He said, well, Daddy, how big is God? He said, oh, son, he said, God's bigger than the world. God's, oh, Daddy, you really mean that? He said, yes, son, God is so much bigger than the world. He said, Daddy, if God's that big and God's inside of those that are saved, how come he's not seen poking out? The question this morning is, if God's that big and if he's inside of you and I, how come people can't see him poking out? Do they see him in me and you? Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 6:19 teaches us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If he's living inside of you, Christian, why can't people see him? Maybe we got to chip away at me. Maybe I need to lay down my life, deny myself, yield my body. The world today has seen what men can do. They have seen what man-made religion can do. They have seen what half-hearted, dried up, lukewarm Christianity can do. What they need to see is Jesus. They need to see Jesus. The question is, do they see him in you and I? The question, if you're lost this morning, is do you need to see him today? Have you ever seen him as your Savior? Have you ever seen Jesus as the only way to heaven? And if you're saved this morning, do you see him as your Lord and Master? Do you have a close, intimate walk with him where you see him clearly? Are you seeing him in the scriptures? Are you showing him to those around you by not just the word you say, but by the life that you live in front of them? There's a world out here. And though they may not understand what they're desiring something. And if they could put in words what's really in their heart, I believe they would say, sir, we'd see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, I don't care how you've done it. Sir, I don't care what you think about this, what you think about that. Sir, I need to see Jesus. There's a world that comes in, these visitors come in our churches on a weekly basis almost. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're sick and tired of critical Christians. They're sick and tired of lukewarm Christianity. They're sick and tired of the rules and all this garbage. And what they're doing is they're looking for somewhere that'll point them to somebody that they've never seen before. And if you could get out their desire would be fulfilled by them seeing Jesus. Are you showing them Jesus? Am I showing them Jesus? Sir, we would see Jesus. And then my challenge to you would be this. If you're here this morning, don't let anybody keep you from seeing Him. Don't let anybody, whether you're lost and you need to see Him and be saved, whether you're a Christian and you need to see Him and get close. Don't let anybody keep you from seeing Jesus the way that you need to see Him. And then certainly, don't be an obstacle to keep others from seeing Him. I would hate to think that I went to heaven, but that my attitude or my actions in this life caused others to turn and not see. I don't want to be an obstacle. Here's my prayer. Let Jesus be seen. Let Jesus be seen. Father, we come to You this morning. Tried to obey You the best I know how. Tried to preach exactly what You put in my heart for New Hope Baptist Church. God, I pray that You take the message. I pray, God, that You would search our hearts. I pray, God, that You would convict those that need to be convicted. Those that are lost, that You would draw them to Your Son, Jesus. Those that are saved and they're not where they need to be. God, help us all fall on our face afresh and anew. Get rid of the distractions. Draw near to You. And look to Jesus. God, may Jesus be seen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As the pianist plays, we're standing, heads are bowed.